Thank you, Kat. This is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and Kat Arney. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, the email address, chris@thenakedscientist.com. Now, we want to know what we can see in the night sky, and we want to know how we can see it even better. And it's not that normal when you see things which have been invented for life here on Earth being applied to space, because normally it's the other way around. But that's exactly what Professor Alyssa Goodman from Harvard University is doing. She's taking some of the systems that have been geared up to do better body scans with MRI and applying them to images of the night sky to enhance those pictures. And she's with us now. Hello, Alyssa.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us on The Naked Scientist. So tell us I've given a brief intro there, but tell us a bit more about this work.
Sure. Well, we have a challenge in astronomy that more and more often we're able to get a third dimension of data, so something like distance, not always exactly distance, but instead of seeing just a flat sky, we can see things where we know what's at what distance. And we'd like to see, for example, in my work, gas clouds that are busy forming new stars, and we'd like to see what they look like, the way that we could go around 3D clouds in the sky. But of course, we can't do that in astronomy, so we need a way to put the images back together into something that looks more like a three-dimensional picture. And it turns out that the computer software to do that we need is very similar to the software that they use in medical imaging.
Why is it such a problem, then, compiling pictures into three dimensions like that?
Well, it turns out it's less of a problem in other fields. And in astronomy, people are just not used to having that kind of information. And so they were starting to try to build their own software. And then we realized that a lot of other people have faced this and done a very good job of, for example, making animated movies. And so you may know that Pixar and companies like that have some of the most powerful computers around. And it turns out that 3D, as particularly 3D animation, so moving 3D pictures, is rather computationally intensive to do at high resolution. And so people in other fields, as I mentioned before, notably medical imaging and film and movies in Hollywood, had figured that out quite well. And so we're trying to borrow on what they already learned.
And when you start doing this, do your images literally come alive? Can you see things or can you identify details that may previously have been overlooked?
Absolutely. One of the things that we're interested in my own work, which again has to do with star formation, is what the impact of jets of material and expanding shells from stars have on the clouds that the stars are forming in. So imagine a terrestrial cloud and you sort of set off a bomb in it and you wanted to see what the expansion wave, some kind of sphere expanding from that bomb looked like. You'd really love to be able to see a 3D image of that. And so when stars set off either supernova explosions or just very powerful winds from stars, the same kind of thing happens to these clouds that they're in. And it's very important for us to understand what that looks like. And in a lot of cases, it's very difficult to see whether or not that's happening, even though it's very important because it tells you what happens to these clouds over millions of years as they evolve. And this software has let us, among other things, see the outflows and the shells that come from these stars in a 3D way that the human brain understands, that was very hard to see when looking at just slices of the images before.
Didn't researchers begin to speculate that, in fact, our own solar system, in other words, the Sun and our clutch of planets, actually get buffeted into existence by a big star nearby that was doing something similar to what you're describing? It was putting a jet of material out which pushed a cloud of gas to make it fall into itself, which then formed us.
Yes, absolutely. There's a theory called triggered star formation, and the idea is that there are these gas clouds out there that are marginally what's called self-gravitating, which means that they're sort of held together by their own gravity, but not quite. They might blow apart, they might collapse, but if you come by and smush them a little bit and sort of trigger them, that's where the triggering comes from, then they're more likely to collapse quickly and make something like our solar system. And one way to do that is having a big blast wave either from one of these outflows or from some sort of shell, possibly even a supernova, come by.
And what are you actually looking at the moment? What's the prime focus of the study at the moment?
Well, right now, we have something that we've been doing over the last 5 or 6 years called the Complete Survey of Star-Forming Regions, and that's a long, funny acronym you can look up online. But anyway, what it does is it looks at some of the most nearby star-forming regions with just about every technique we can use from the ground at optical wavelengths and at radio wavelengths. And in the radio is where we can make these three-dimensional images. And importantly, the Spitzer Space Telescope, which is the infrared counterpart of the Hubble Space Telescope, has also looked at these same regions. So they're essentially targeted regions where we really want to try to understand the whole process of star formation. And what we've been able to do with this 3D imaging project that we call Astronomical Medicine is to be able to give people 3D views of what these very large regions of space look like, to be able to put back together in our minds a picture of what's going on. And then from that picture, we make hypotheses. For example, our recent work is about the details of the role of self-gravity, of how likely little bits of this gas are to collapse over time on themselves. And to understand whether or not our theories and our mathematical ideas are right, really the best way to do that is to see a picture of what they mean. And we've been able to convince some people lately that we think we're on the right track.
And you have some absolutely spectacular pictures on your own website. And if anyone intrigued enough to look at it, having heard you here on the radio, Alyssa, wants to check you out, where's the web address so they can go and take a look at those pictures?
Well, actually, the best way to do it is just type my name, Alyssa Goodman, Goodman, in Google, and I think it's the first link that comes up. It's easier than typing.
And actually, now you've been on here, if they type in Alyssa Goodman naked, they'll even hear your interview all over again.
Wonderful. Better than naked photos.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Alyssa.
Okay, bye-bye, Chris.
So Alyssa Goodman, who is from Harvard University, she's come up with a fantastic way to apply the techniques used to analyse body scans here on Earth to deep space and begin to reveal some of the mysteries of what goes on when stars are blowing themselves to pieces and disrupting their local cosmic neighbourhood.
Laying the facts bare.
I say.
The Naked Scientists.